this evening. And Father, we are asking for you to come and to guide us now through the scriptures, dear God, and this teaching, Lord, that you've laid on our heart, dear God. And we ask, God, that you will, Father, just renew us in your spirit tonight, dear God. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated and turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I believe we may be able to conclude this chapter tonight. We'll begin reading at verse 25. Now, these first few verses of scripture that we're going to read here, one of the things you got to keep in mind is when we first began teaching about Corinthians, and we went into the city Corinth, and we brought out how that it was such a sinful place, and that there were many converts that came in Corinth, and these converts, they came from the very sinful lives. And, you know, as Paul said, such were some of you, but now you're washed. You know, now you're sanctified. And so there were many things that were considered a normal way of life in Corinth, which were very ungodly things. And so in these first few verses we're going to read, Paul is like he began in verse in the first verse of chapter 7 when he said, you know, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every wife have her own husband. And he's dealing with these different things in this chapter. And then he goes on here from verse 25 and he begins to deal more with marriage and showing that, you know, the things about marriage and that it's not a sin to be married. And it's not a sin to not be married. But Paul also deals with these things of the natural human desires. And now he says here in verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, and it remaineth that both they which have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashionless world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinketh he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath no, so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Verse 39. Now, Paul moves from talking about the things in the natural, and he is talking about something in natural, but it has a spiritual type, which is what we want to get to tonight. He says in verse 29, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Now, in the natural, if a woman is married and her husband separate or divorce, as long as her husband is alive, she cannot by the scripture remarry. And if she were to remarry, then according to the scripture, she'd be considered to God to be an adulteress. But what I want to get to tonight is actually to focus on the spiritual application of this. As the prophet's saying, as long as her first husband is living, she cannot marry another. And that her first husband has got to be dead in order for her to remarry. And that what your first husband, according to the scripture, spiritually speaking, was your nature, your worldly nature that you were born with. And that was your first husband. And you can, you know, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So according to the scripture, a woman can't have two living husbands. If she has two living husbands, then she's an adulteress. And when you look at this in the spiritual, a person cannot be still married to the first nature of the world try to separate from it and marry to Christ, because then they would have two living husbands. So according to what the scriptures teaches is that first nature is got to die. It can't just be something that, somebody trying to make themselves better morally. That you've got to die to that worldly nature. You've got to die to the things of the world. And your first husband, which is your nature, by birth, when it had the rule over you. And because it had the rule over you, that as long as that nature was alive, then you loved the things of the world. You had a desire for the things of the world. But, you can't just, a person comes and, well, I'll tell you what, I'll receive Jesus as my Savior, I'll come and be baptized, and I'll go to church, and then continue on in the world, because you can't be married to both. You've got to die to that thing of the world in that first nature. And that's the reason, Brother Ram said, that's the reason you've got to be born again, because you've got to die to that first nature and then be born again. And then when you die to that first husband, then the nature of the world dies. Every aspect of him dies, and then you're reunited again with another nature, a new nature, a nature of God. Turn me in the Bible to Romans chapter 6, and I want to read through this chapter here and show you this about dying to that first nature. In this chapter, Paul actually calls that first husband, that old nature, he calls it the old man. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield yourself your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto the holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brother Branham says in one place in the message, he says, before you can have a natural resurrection, you've got to first have a spiritual resurrection. And that's covered in this scriptures that we just read, for it says that if we be planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So you died to that old nature. That old man dies. But you receive a spiritual resurrection, and that first nature is dead to you, but you are alive again in Jesus Christ. And so then, therefore, you can be married to Christ. And if so, you're married to Christ, then, and that nature, old nature, is dead, then you won't love the things of the world. You can be cut off from the things of the world. Paul says in Ephesians 4, you don't have to turn there with me, but I'll just read it to you quickly. He says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Your that first nature that you are born with, it's dead, and you know it's dead. Because that those desires that you had, you don't have them anymore. Those, that pull that the world had on you, it doesn't have that pull on you. You've got, instead of having a downward pull, you've got an upward pull now. And you, instead of feeding on the things of the world, you feed on the Word. You feed on Christ. And we are eagles that have been gathered to the carcass of the Word to feed on the Word. And that your new husband is Christ. That old one, he's buried. And as Paul says, we bury him in baptism. But now it's not, there are people that comes to water baptism and they approach it as a way, well, and they, but they don't die to that nature, so they're not burying anything when they get baptized. All they're doing is they go down a dry center and come up a wet one. There's no change. The baptism itself, really, it is in symbol of what actually is happening spiritually. That you are burying that old nature, that old man that has died, and it's buried then in Jesus Christ, and then you are renewed in life and married then to Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is, Paul says, I have espoused you a chaste virgin unto Christ. And, you know, but once a woman has been married and been with a man, then she can never be a virgin again. Even if her first husband dies, she can never be a virgin again. But you have been renewed in life. You have received a spiritual resurrection, and therefore, you are a virgin to Christ. Now, when the first nature you are born with, and then all the deeds that you did under that first nature, they were recorded in a book. Daniel speaks about there being the Ancient of Days whose hair was white as wool, and 10,000 times 10,000 come to minister to him. And he says, and then the books were opened. And he says, and another book was opened. And that book that was opened was the book of life. And in that book of life was recorded the deeds that of everything that you had done was put in that book. But when you die to that nature, then that is blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. So all the sin that you have committed, all the deeds that you've done, have been blotted out by the blood. So they shall, and put in the sea of God's forgetfulness. It never to more be remembered, never to more be brought up. Now, you remember them because you have this human memory. And so, and Satan makes sure you don't forget it. And he comes to try to bring condemnation to you many times from your past and condemn you over it. And but you have died to that, and you're a new creature, as the Bible said, in Christ Jesus. You, Brother Branham says, in Invisible Union of the Bride, he said, when you were separated from that first union by a spiritual death. So that first union you had to that nature that you were born with, you're separated from that by a spiritual death. And he says, and he said, he, the bridegroom, took away your shame. and put it in the sea of forgetfulness by the washing of the water of the word and the blood of life. The Bible said your first husband that you were married to, the world. See, but the anointed bridegroom, which foreordained you, has washed you by the washing of the water, by the word. And you are standing completely justified as though you never did it at the beginning. So those things that you, the sin that you've done, the awful things that you did, you have though you've that has died, and you stand justified. You have been received a spiritual resurrection, and in this spiritual resurrection, you never did those things. You stand justified, Brother Branham says. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe, it says that when the day of judgment comes, that everyone will have to stand in judgment in the body that they sinned in. Now, we have received a spiritual resurrection. And so therefore we stand justified as if we never did it in the first place. But we still are living in this natural flesh, the body that those sins were committed in. But the Bible teaches us that we're going to put, as we have put off the old man spiritually and put on a new man spiritually, we're going to put off this old body that the sin was committed in and put on a new body. And that new body we stand therein never sinned. It never committed any of those things. And that's why one of the reasons we look forward to the body change, that we'll be standing there in a glorified, pure body, a body that's as pure as your soul is pure. Now, your soul stands pure before God now. And you, Brother Bam says, you're completely justified. And this is my message to the church now. You're standing, if you're standing in God's word and with God's word, every man, every amen, every jot, every tittle, where you're standing, I'm trying to tell you, put away from them shucks, and you get out here in the wheat where you can get ripe before the sun. I hear the coming of the combine. You're standing complete, justified, like you never did it at the first place. Hallelujah. Talk about a Thanksgiving, he says. I feel real good. I'm more thankful for that than anything I know of. You are pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and believes every word of God stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You're perfect. So Paul brings this teaching on that the first husband has to die in order for the woman to be able to marry again. But not only has your first husband died, but you yourself has died. And you've been brought alive again in Christ Jesus. And as I just explained, even though we're in this body that we committed those things in, and this body and our spirit realm bears the scars from those things. Your memory is scarred from those things. In other words, what I'm saying is you can't forget them. Now, Brother Renham said, you know, if I had did something and somebody come and said, I forgive you. He said they could forgive me because they're human, they couldn't forget it. He said, but God has forgiven us. And the thing about it is, it's not to be remembered, because with God, we never did it. That old man, that old nature did it. And when the books are open, as we spoke of in Daniel, when the books are open and it says, and 10,000 times 10,000 ministered to him, you realize that's the bride. And so the Bible tells us that we have passed from death unto life, never to come into the condemnation. So you not only are going to be at that time in a body that never sinned, with a soul that never sinned, but you're not going to be standing in judgment. When those books are open for judgment, you're going to be standing there. You are the 10,000 times 10,000s that ministered unto Christ the judge. So, you know, as the Bible says, know ye not that you, the saints, shall judge even the angels. So, you know, the devils are going to be judged by you. The devils that torment you, they're going to be judged by you. And you know, and cast into hell. Cast into the fiery pit to be annihilated. But we are new creatures in Christ. Not just divorced from that old nature. Not just divorced from it, but we're it's dead and we're dead, and we have resurrected into a new life, a new creatures in Christ Jesus. All we're waiting for is the redemption of the body. Our soul has experienced redemption, but we're waiting for the redemption of the body, which is the body change. And then when we have that body changed, then our bodies, our outward, will match what's on the inside of us now. Now, Brother Branham says that natural death, it doesn't change a person. However a person dies when they die here from this life, that the Bible says, let the righteous be righteous still and the filthy, filthy still. And so it doesn't, the only thing that death from this life does is change your dwelling place. But to, you know, as the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. In order for a person to be part of that, they must have died spiritually to the things of the world in this life and been resurrected spiritually and as a new creature in Christ Jesus, that therefore when they die naturally in this life and go by the way of the grave, that in the day when the dead in Christ will rise, they'll rise because they've already had a spiritual resurrection. Hallelujah. And that's why we're different. That's why you're different than the person that you were. Yeah, we still, and as we teach, we still have to contend with this body of flesh. And our flesh is weak. And it gives us problems. And it is our enemy. Because this flesh that we're living in is not in a redeemed state. But that soul of yours, that real you, is in a redeemed state right now. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I wanted to just bring to a conclusion this seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians tonight, and I didn't want to go on into the next chapter yet, and so I just wanted, as I had been doing through this seventh chapter, just taking and focusing on parts of it at a time. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, that you, as you've come, Lord, and Lord, these are things that we know, but Lord, we're just bringing this teaching and seeing them as they were scripturally placed. And seeing, you know, many times, Father, we, as we're preaching, we make these statements and we say these things, and we don't always go to the scripture from which they came from and show the basis of it. And Lord, that's what we were doing tonight, was going to those scriptures and showing the basis of this, Lord, of being, Lord, dead to that first nature and resurrected in Christ and married to Christ Jesus and being justified, Lord, as though we never did it in the beginning. Lord, how that should make us rejoice. For Lord, how that, Father, when we, as Paul says, that those things, we were ashamed of those things. We are ashamed of those things. But Lord, you took on our shame at Calvary. You took on our sin at Calvary. And when we accept you as our Savior and die out to that first nature, then that first man, that first husband is crucified. That old man is crucified with you, Lord. And Lord, then as we are identified in your death, so are we identified in your resurrection. I pray your blessings now on the people, Father. Go with them this evening, Father, tonight. Be with them tomorrow, as many of them have work and things that they have to do, Lord. I pray you'll go with them. Bring us back here at the appointed time on Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name.